I'm not Matthew, so sorry. I'm giving a talk right after Matthew's, so he asked me to give it, but I see, you know, it's on. I'm a corn breeder, so I'm giving a talk on wheat and on rice in this session. And I see that there's wheat people from CIMMYT here that should be giving this talk. But anyways, you can straighten me out. Matthew is concerned with the problem of phenological variation, particularly variation in flowering time, as an impediment to gene discovery for traits like drought tolerance in wheat. That's Matthew. He's sorry he can't be here. So gene discovery involves developing large polymorphic and mapping populations from, hopefully from parents that are different in terms of trait of interest, and then evaluating them in environments and that are realistic in terms of a target environment and don't result in suppression of the expression of the trait as a result of an overriding influence of some adaptive trait, such as vernalization requirement or photoperiod sensitivity. Matthew notes that most mapping populations used in wheat are not fixed for photoperiod sensitivity and vernalization, the genes controlling vernalization requirement, and certainly are very variable for flowering. It's very common. He notes that in real populations in wheat, there can be a 30-day range in flowering date, and that's also the case in rice, I can tell you from experience. And that the period around flowering is very, in terms of grain set, is very sensitive to environmental conditions, and so the conditions into which a line flowers in a mapping population may be very different as a result of a few days difference in heading date. This is just making this point, I guess, an old slide from Tony Fisher's work on drought screening at CIMMYT many years ago, looking at the grain set versus date of onset of stress, and these lines are xylem water tensions, and you can see that the period, you know, between about 15 and 5 days before flowering is really the extremely sensitive period. And Matthew's put together a set of 5-day averages from, I guess this would be from Obregón in northwestern Mexico, for a number of environmental characteristics. Maximum temperature, relative humidity, radiation, evapotranspiration, rainfall, and you can see that 5-day averages in this particular trial were very different. So you know, if that very sensitive physiological moment in a population that you're using for genetic analysis purposes can just by random weather fluctuations be very different, and he's made the point that QTLs for yield under drought stress often map to genes associated with photoperiod sensitivity or flowering date. This would probably be the case with the rice example, and notes that in different subfractions of a population, you can get very different QTLs detected. I think most people have done this type of work. I see a lot of heads nodding, and people who have done this type of work are not surprised by this. In a population cookery by RAC 385, he's got, in the whole population, 340 rills. And you know, you get a very large peak here on 2D, large peak on 2B, I guess. When the population is split, I guess these are, no. Okay, I better not make a comment there. When the population is split into early and late subpopulations, they must mean the effects of these markers disappear. So this 2D, for instance, peak drops out in both the late subpopulation and the early subpopulation. And you get some new large effect QTLs, you know, a large effect here on 7A, and a much larger effect in the early subpopulation on 3B. So looking at different chunks of this population give you a very different picture in terms of effects of markers. This is a pretty generic slide on why grain set is so sensitive to the environment. I think in the interest of time, we'll just skip over that. So Matthew and colleagues are developing populations that are trying to get around these types of problems that are very homogeneous for height and phenology, but that are genetically polymorphic. So this is a population, Seri Babax, that is being evaluated by this graduate student, Suzuki Pinto, and trying to make sure that these populations are uniform for photoperiod sensitivity, vernalization requirements, and have a low G by E interaction for flowering time. He points out that these populations are readily phenotyped using the same tools applied in extensive genotypic screening, I think that stands for. So the WEED program at CIMMYT, there are better people here to discuss this with you, are using canopy temperature as a selection tool now on a large scale. And finding that these are, in Seri Babak's population of 167 lines, these are the relationships between grain yield in the rills and canopy temperature in the morning during the vegetative stage, in the afternoon during the vegetative stage, and during grain fill, again, morning and afternoon. So good relationships when care is taken about when the screening is done. Also high association between canopy temperature and yield under hot irrigated conditions in this population. And so they hope that the stage is set for good progress in this type of QTL analysis. A lot of polymorphic loci on the map, 580 markers in the population. Analyses in single environments using pretty conventional approaches, and newer algorithms for multi-environment QTL analyses. And are finding strong QTL associated with the markers on 3B and 4A, associated with canopy temperature in the vegetative stage, with markers on 2B and 3B in grain filling, and the common marker 3B for canopy temperature suggests some common genetic basis for heat and drought tolerance and that mechanism. And you can see that these are the number of trials in which a particular locus has been significant in the QTL analysis. The point of this slide is that careful selection of parents is required to develop mapping populations that won't be confounded with phenology. So Matthew is carefully screening lines that are planted over a range of planting dates to identify pairs of lines that don't, at both Obregon and Bataan, that don't cross over in terms of their number of days to enthesis. So you can see that, for instance, early line 1 and early line 2 generally track each other at both locations and don't cross over in terms of planting date, in terms of flowering date, should be suitable for in a range of environments, and therefore should be suitable for developing a mapping population. Another point he wanted to make was the use of large CIMMYT data sets from the uniform performance nurseries, for which CIMMYT has very large numbers of lines, 150 lines per year at as much as 100 locations, to be exploited in association studies. And these studies can be, these populations can be subdivided into groups of lines that have very similar enthesis dates and low G by E in order to look at effects of candidate genes. I think I'll end it there. These are the list of people that he's working with on this project. If you have any questions, his email address is m.reynolds@cgiar.org.